Welcome to the Forgiveness Journey Podcast, brought to you by the Fruit of Forgiveness Ministry. In today's episode, we continue the third part of the discussion with Rene Napier and Eric Smallridge as they talk about the transforming power of forgiveness that occurred when Eric drove his vehicle into the car that Renee's daughter and best friend were driving, which resulted in their death. Let's listen to the transforming power of forgiveness that Renee showed to Eric Smallridge and how she wanted to impact the world with the power of forgiveness. Let's listen in on this third and final episode.
His underwear, all that stuff. Anyway, we had a lot of experiences that that helped us form a tighter bond. And then once he was released, we continued to go, and speak together. And so I can say to you, the forgiveness for me has not only helped me just grow to where I have such a depth of understanding about why we need to forgive. And then I've grown to love him. You know, I really love him and I care about him and I pray for him and I care about his family. And I know that he does the same for me. God has really been at work, not only in his life, but in my life and the ripple effect of so many people, my family, who all of them have forgiven Eric. And then that ventures out to all the, you know, friends of Lisa's and Megan's that knew them and have forgiven Eric. And, you know, people that are not even involved in this story, hearing about our story and then being able to forgive someone because of, you know, hearing what God has been doing. So I take no credit for anything in this story other than for once in my life, I got it right. And I was obedient to God. And by obedience, I mean, you know, where he commands us, if we want to be forgiven, that we need to forgive. And so that's where I stepped out in my faith and forgave Eric, no matter what the cost for me personally, which ended up my family accepted it, which I was very thankful for, and my friends. And if anybody had anything negative to say about it, you know, and I have had people that I don't really know say negative things, but none of my people in my circle criticized me or anything for doing it. So anyway, the original question was about my foundation.
Yeah.
I set up a foundation to help me be able to continue to travel and speak. And it's called the Megan Napier Foundation.
So, you know, as we begin to wrap up, so Matthew West, an outstanding Christian singer, was so inspired by your testimony in forgiveness that he wrote a song, and it's called Forgiveness, right? And and then he snuck in on you at the studio, the whole deal. And so that, you know, just watching that, it was just such a blessing to know that what you did came straight from the heart. And you blessed Eric with your sacrifice, because a lot of people would never do what you did. They would still be angry today. They would still, their friends and family would be angry. And theoretically, they are in bondage. Mm-hmm. And when you don't forgive, you're in bondage. And as I think about Eric in shackles and in his prison garb and all that, several people have said it, but Corrie Ten Boom has said it, like, forgiveness is setting the prisoner free, only to realize that you were the prisoner. So when we withhold forgiveness from people, we're putting ourselves in bondage. And Luke chapter 23, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So, well, who are we, you know, to stand back in judgment and withhold forgiveness? And man, you just stood out. And sure, there's going to be people that not going to agree with your decisions. They're not even going to agree with Eric, because they're going to question Eric's testimony today. Yeah. They're going to say, oh, he's just one of those Jesus guys because he got caught. But the Bible says in Romans, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So every one of us have done something, from pastors on down. You know, we have to continue to give it to the Lord. And so I thank you guys for your testimony and, you know, your life and the way you walk with the Lord. And I pray that you will continue to share your story because people need to hear it. And so our Fruit of Forgiveness Ministry, you know, our main scripture is Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, have forgiven you. And so we have to forgive each other. And so I'll give you guys the last word. If you want to take a couple minutes, and Eric, you say something, and then Megan, you can say something. You can take a couple minutes as we close it out.
Oh, I'm very grateful for this opportunity. As Renee said, I wouldn't even be sitting here. My original release date was in July or something of 2022. So every opportunity I have, even before that date, any opportunity I have beyond that date is a blessing, but especially those before that date, because as the world would have it, I'm still there. All my appeals, everything was denied. You know, and I think it's Renee had said something about this, and I don't want anybody to take this incorrectly. All of my failures are on me. But God's timing is perfect. And, you know, there was this not guilty plea because of this fearful man, boy that I was. But what's really crazy is to look back and to see God's timing and everything, because the way the legal system works is if you plead guilty, the mandate comes out immediately, and there was never time for the grief process to take its course. I am not at all implying that. I think it's crazy how God can work through situations and in the long run will be glorified by the actions. And I think it all stemmed with Renee. God knows the timing. He knows every hair on our head. Again, his timing is perfect. And through Renee's purity and through her heart, she was the one that started the process into motion. She did create that foundation, which not only is her walk based on my walk, her children. You know, you say, where did that come from? Well, we all know that it's generational, and the while Renee never pushed any of her beliefs onto her children, she exemplified it. And she showed them how to walk this walk, and yeah, she's shown me. And she continues to bless society with this walk through these opportunities. At the beginning, I wrote it down. You said there was two awesome people on this call, and I was like, no, there's one awesome person, and on my screen, she's right below me. obviously I hold her way up above me, and I know she doesn't want to be idolized, but she is the exemplification of Christ's love, of forgiveness, yeah, in a situation where I am the unforgivable, yet she showed that forgiveness is possible. And I feel not guilty, but, unworthy of even being put on the same plane as that. Because what I was given was totally undeserved, and that's what they call grace, undeserved mercy. But that's what I was given. And again, I try not to idolize Renee, in the godly sense, but, if there's anybody that is the closest thing to a saint that I know, it's her. And she has heavily impacted all of those that I think get the opportunity to see her speak on the forgiveness topic. And I think that's why Matthew West was so inspired by it. But again, like she said, it's obedience. And, you know, the truth is the only way that we become obedient to, Christ was obedient all the way to death, even succumbed to death because of obedience. And I think that even those in their walk. And again, you know, if this is going to be on YouTube, anybody who thinks they're not worthy of the forgiveness of Christ, I'm not going to say that this situation doesn't happen a lot, but just because the victim in your sense, if you ask God for forgiveness, he is just and faithful to forgive. I think it's 1 John 1:9.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think that's very important for anybody that sees this message that is struggling to forgive their self for something that they've done. Just look at this situation. One of the most unforgivable things happened in this, you know, daughters were taken from families by a person who knew better. I thought I was unworthy. And in the flesh and as a human being, I still am, but that's not how Christ sees things. You know, Isaiah 55:8-9 says, his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are much higher than our thoughts, just like heaven is much higher than the earth. Right. It's hard to fathom, but if you trust in Christ as your Lord and Savior and you surrender your will to him and you live a life that is in accordance to his will, then you are worthy of forgiveness and you can forgive self, and staying in depression and self-hatred is not going to produce anything good in this lifetime for anybody, including yourself. And so if you're struggling with that, I just encourage you to understand who you are in Christ and that you are worthy of forgiveness. You just need to align yourself with his will and stop letting the devil control your thoughts. You know, it says in James to resist the devil and he will flee from you, that you draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And that's the important thing, is we have to take that first step. We have to draw near to God in order for him to draw near to us. He's not a forceful person. You know, if the knock is there, the door must be open. He's not going to kick it in and force himself into your life. But he is available to you. And so if you feel Christ, the urge, if you feel the knocking at your heart, if you feel the devil pulling on you, and trying to convince you that you're not worthy, that's because the devil likes to yell really loud because he's scared to lose you to the grace and mercy of Christ. And so I just encourage you to answer the door and the knock and open that door so that your life can be made full, just like mine. You know, the redemption, the sanctification will be a continual process until I meet him face to face.
Yeah.
But if I had rejected it and I had believed what the devil had said, I wouldn't be here to talk about it. And so I just want to encourage anybody who thinks that they're not worthy. You are.
Amen. Amen. Renee.
Yeah. Well, just to brag on Eric a little bit, and to talk about what forgiveness has done, you know, I'm going to talking about what it's done for me, but just real quick, what I see has happened in Eric is that I know that I did the right thing. I never regretted it. And Eric has just continued to grow in his faith, and he went back to college again. So he got a second degree once he got out of prison, and he got a real estate license. I mean, a real estate degree. And then he's a realtor. He's gotten married. He has a stepdaughter, and he's become a productive member once again of our society. And for him, you know, if anybody has any doubt in, you know, he's playing some game, you know, he's not. I mean, he's been out for over 8 years. So this will be the 9th year in November of this year. And he's just continued to make his life meaningful. And he goes to church and he worships God and he loves the Lord and he professes his faith to everyone that he comes in contact with. Every person that, you know, asks him to help them find a house, buy a house or sell a house, he's, you know, they're impacted by his faith, which is, you know, it's not thanks to me. It's thanks to what God has done through me and through this situation. But God got a hold of him, like he said, you know, before the trial, I mean, before the sentencing, and God was already at work in his heart and was preparing him to hear those words, I forgive you. And for anybody that's struggling from the point of view, like me, who says, you know, I can't forgive this person. The things, there's a few things that I always talk about that that trip us up. The first one is that we feel like we're helping them get away with what they did. And that's why we don't want to forgive them, because it's like it erases it, or it or they get away with it. And, you know, in our situation, Eric obviously did not get away with it. He went to prison. He was punished. And so I've learned that it doesn't mean that he doesn't have to be punished. And, you know, I think that Eric would even say, I mean, you know, as much as he hated his punishment, he grew in his punishment. He grew to be a different person. And he's got a lot of experiences from going to prison that help us whenever we go speak in a prison. He's been there. He's walked those same halls in some places, you know, so he's got a lot to help other inmates, to encourage them. And, you know, it didn't mean that I betrayed Megan and Lisa, because they're definitely not betrayed. Those two girls love the Lord, and I believe that they're in heaven, you know, and I believe that they have a better understanding of forgiveness. And knowing my own daughter very well, she would not want me to live my life being hating somebody and my time, you know, with all of that negative energy. And so I always share this. You said it, and Matthew West wrote it in the song. He quoted it from C.S. Lewis, reading it from his book, but Corrie ten Boom, you know, that you're setting a prisoner, when you forgive someone, you're setting a prisoner free, and you find out, you discover that prisoner is you. And I have discovered that. And there's another thing that that I learned, that if you don't forgive, it's like drinking poison, waiting for the other person to die. Yeah. And, you know, the poison that I've determined in this case would be hatred and bitterness and anger. And I have learned, I have experienced those emotions to the depth of realizing how hideous and destructive they are. Mm-hmm. And I know that I have been set free. I know that my family has been set free. It's not a forgive and forget type of a thing. I don't believe, there are some things, yes, I've forgotten that, you know, that I've forgiven somebody for. I'll never forget that my daughter is not here. I grieve her every day. You know, I wish that she was here. But I've learned to live with the conflicting emotions of that grief. And I've experienced joy again. You know, my scripture was Psalm 118:24. This is the day the Lord has made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. Said that every day after Megan died, said it out loud to God, and then followed it up with, but God, I'm not rejoicing today. I don't feel it in my heart, but I'm going to tell you, I knew in my heart that if I continued to believe that God was at work, and that I knew that he was faithful and just, and Eric talked about God's timing. I didn't know what his timing was going to be, but I can tell you that today, this is the day the Lord has made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. I mean that 100%. And it was probably, you know, within a year or 2 years after Megan died that I could say that and really mean it. And I've learned what life is like experiencing joy. And I believe that that joy that I've experienced, and I experienced that to a really great depth too. And that joy that I have stems from that forgiveness that I offered to Eric, and how God has healed me, and he has taken care of me. You know, he doesn't tell us to do things if he's not going to provide us, if he's not going to equip us to be able to do it, you know, and God is always looking out for us. So if he tells us, you know, love your enemies, forgive people, he's telling us that for our own benefit. It's not, it may seem a little bit conflicting in our own minds when we try to justify that out, you know, rationalize that out. Like, why would God want me to love somebody that's my enemy? But he knows that in the long run, you know, it takes down walls, and it builds relationships and friendships that, you know, look at what God has been able to do with both Eric and me, you know, with me not being angry, with me approaching people and sharing my story with love and warmth, and with Eric, you know, being a forgiven man, being able to share what God has been able to do in his life because of that forgiveness. So I would encourage anybody that's struggling with it to just pray about it, to, you know, struggling with forgiving someone, to just take that first step and forgive them in your heart. Say it out loud, you know, even if it's in the privacy of your own room, but just start practicing that, because God will release you when you do. God will, you'll be set free, and you'll be able to live a life that is way more meaningful and productive.
Right. Amen. So It's been awesome today talking to Eric Smallridge and Renee Napier. And, you know, as we end this interview, you know, we talked about, you know, that day of May 11, 2002, when Eric was under the influence of alcohol, was a drunk driver, and drove his car into the vehicle with Megan and Lisa Dixon. And so today was awesome to hear how forgiveness was so important, and how Renee, not only did you create the Megan Napier Foundation, but you also helped create the foundation for Eric, because he got saved because you gave him a Bible. And so you were intentional in making sure that this young man knew Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, and he could be discipled. He could grow. He could go from milk to meat. And so it's a blessing just being able to talk to you guys. And I pray that down the road, we'll be able to have another conversation. I'll get back the hold of you and we do it again. We have conferences and workshops. And so I just pray that you'll think about it and said, hey, you know, we'd like to do it again in another forum. And so I appreciate you. I'm Pastor Dave Hill from the Fruit of Forgiveness Ministry. And thank you so much for your awesome words. It blessed me, and I'm sure it's going to bless other people. So thank you so much. I appreciate it. Amen.